Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Man, usually I talk about Mark, but we're going to talk about the breakout. The fast has been absolutely incredible, and hopefully you've had a steak this morning already. Anybody has steak yet? Anybody grab that latte on the way to church? Nobody? Just Josh, okay? All right. It's been good. The whole week has been incredible. I wish I could tell you which one was my favorite speaker. I don't have one. They're all my favorites. But my nephew Aaron was here, and so that's made it special. And then my favorite piano player of all time, Brandon Shockley, was here. Nobody's announced him, but the dude has made the whole entire week special. Thanks for coming, man. And I only get him sometimes. If I had a touring ministry, I would make Brandon go with me all the time. It would be B Block and B Shock at the same time. And the fists of death. But anyway, we've been talking about breakout. The first week we talked a little bit about how we break away to break out. And the thing I want to talk to you a little bit about today is that humanity is absolutely notorious for missing the point. For missing the point. Look at the person next to you and say, you missed the point. And it's probably true. You probably told them a lot, right? And it's like, if you said that to a female, she knows that. She's like, excuse me, you missed the point, right? She got all this different kind of stuff. And then men just usually stand there and say nothing and nod. 2 days later, they're like, you missed the point, right? And women, they'll tell you a lot during the same conversation. You don't understand. No, I didn't communicate it very well. You don't get it right. And dudes are just like, And then they go tell their friends, like, yeah, she just doesn't get it, right? So, but it doesn't matter who you are, male, female, wherever you are in life, you have missed the point, and you're surrounded by people that miss the point. As a matter of fact, when we miss the point, we are misinformed, right? But sometimes we have the right information, but we miss the point simply because we didn't calculate it properly. When I was in college, I studied philosophy and logic. Now, those two things don't always go well together, but they say they go well together. And here's the thing about logic. I actually flunked logic, right? I'm not very logical. But the whole thing about logic is trying to figure out processes and themes and how they fit together in these cubes. And if this is true and this is true, then you can assume this. And I got that, like, step one. But then I got, like, to step 16, and I just lost track. But here's the thing about logic is they have fallacies, mistruths, or lies about the information that you have. So a fallacy is like this. Somebody's making an argument, and I make an argument that is not even anywhere close to the point. It's a fallacy, okay? Now, here's the miss the point fallacy, is that if I can determine X, the first thing X, and it's a piece of information, it would draw me to a conclusion. And then I could come over here, and I could determine Y. And it would draw me to a conclusion. I could put those two conclusions together, and I could come up with the absolute truth, right? But the problem is, most people around us are too busy finding X and finding Y, and then making whatever piece of information they want out of the rest of it. So let me give you a little example. For instance, we could say that in the AFC Championship, we could say that Tom Brady threw an interception. Information X, right? Information Y, D Ford, it's called for offsides. Sorry, Brad Taylor. We're going to live it out, man. We're going to get you healed today. Information X, Tom Brady threw an interception. D Ford is called for offsides. The clear information that we can arrive to is that the Patriots cheated. Am I right? Y'all missed an opportunity for a stand-up, clap, amen, whatever. I mean, you could have shouted until Tom Brady threw an interception. D4 gets called off sides. The Patriots cheated. Okay, now, here is being misinformed, right? Missing the point through misinformation. Tom Brady threw an interception. D4 gets called off sides. It must have been a Kardashian's fault. Missed the point, right? Right? Anybody? Kardashian curse? Nobody else? Just basketball players, which is even more misinformed. Okay, so this is what happens, and oftentimes in our lives, we are living our lives through misinformation. We will have people argue X and argue Y, and they'll arrive at some place in their life, some excuse for where they are, some excuse for why it didn't happen, some excuse for why they can trust God or not trust God, some excuse for why they can move forward or they should stay in the same spot. All of it is misinformation. You are misinformed and you are missing the point if you do not arrive where God wants you to arrive. And so what happens is we have the opportunity to break out. We started 3 weeks ago. We're talking about you can break out. You can break out. You can level up. You can go up to the next place that God has for you. And some people get to the end of the third week and they're like, yeah, I feel like I'm going to go up to the next level. And then they live the rest of their year or their life or whatever, and they just do the exact same thing. They live in the exact same place. And then they go back like, well, Brandon had that cool t-shirt and we talked about breakout and all those pastors came in. Everything was just rocking. And if you don't have one of these t-shirts yet, there's a few more out there. I suggest you get them before they're sold out. Okay. But you can break out and you're like, maybe God doesn't want me to break out. Maybe God doesn't want that for my life. Maybe God is not going to do the extraordinary thing that I'm believing for him. And we have X and we have Y, and then we miss the point. As a matter of fact, you can believe God for a breakout, but your breakout can be hindered if you miss the point. Let me say it again. Your breakout can be hindered if you miss the point. One more time. Your breakout can be hindered if you miss the point. Have you ever fasted for 21 days and got to the end and realized you didn't even pray one time? You didn't even crack your Bible open one time? You went on a really spiritual sounding diet, right? And didn't ever connect with God. Missed the point. You can come to church 52 times a year. You can make midweek Bible study. You can even read the Bible some and still miss the point. And what happens is in our life, we miss the point because we don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is somehow there to forgive us our sins and get us to heaven, but that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus came to actually be our prototype. He came to show us the way that life could be. And there's a few things that Jesus did. He came and he started to heal the sick. That's one thing he did. He healed people around him. He began to speak about the truth of what God was saying. And most of us, we believe what God says, but how often do we speak what God is saying? Jesus came and he began to care for the least. He began to care for people who were marginalized. He began to make women somebody of stature, when in that time there was no stature for women. He began to make something of children, and there was nothing for children. They were forgotten. They're shoved off in the corner. They were the least. He began to make something of the poor, the lepers, people that were outcasts, people were put aside. He began to make something of them. He had an incredible life of serving others. And then he comes and lives a perfect sinless life. He does miracles, signs, and wonders. He prays to the Father. He communicates the heart of God to us. And then he dies on a cross. And that's where we love that right there. We begin to kind of glory in the cross. We even have songs about the cross. You may have heard some of them. I will cling to the old rugged cross, right? Jesus, keep me near the cross, right? And it's powerful, and here's why it's powerful. Because we know us, right? You know yourself. Look at the person next to you. Say, I know you. They don't know you. Now look at them, see this. I know me too, right? And here's what happens. We love the cross because at the cross, we actually see who we are at our core becomes sacrificed on a cross. The Bible says that Jesus became sin on the cross. He became sin on the cross. He didn't know sin. He had never sinned. But God made him who knew no sin to become sin on the cross. So he dies on the cross, and there we see our debts paid. And that's, we like that. Because we all have debts. We all have spiritual debt. We all have sin. We have something inside of us that we cannot get over. We cannot get past. We can't even forgive ourselves for. And if we study it out, we find out that God says that you'll be punished for your sin. And so glory to God, the cross is amazing. In a sense, is our information X of our logic. It is the first piece of information that is wonderful. It is amazing. And so we're like, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. Jesus, keep me near the cross. I want to cling to that cross. But I'll tell you something, that cross is nowhere to be found today. Whatever two pieces of wood that he was on, we'd have no idea where they are. They're not even that powerful. That cross around your neck, as cool as it is, and it reminds you of something great, it stands for nothing. It stands for death. And so Jesus didn't just stop at the cross. He goes to the grave, and then he rises again. He doesn't stop at punishment. He doesn't stop at suffering. He goes on to overcome. And that, in a sense, is our why information. It's the next piece of information that you need to become what God wants you to be. Is that Jesus Christ is the overcomer. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. There is not anything that holds him down. Ephesians says that he is the authority over all things, over powers, principalities, demons, governments. Everything is under his feet, and he has been given that authority for you. But if you remain right here at the cross, all you'll see is who you were. It was my sin that nailed him to a cross. It was your sin that nailed him to a cross. And we're so self-centered that we would love to just stay right here because it requires nothing of us but to receive forgiveness. It's easy to say, yes, Jesus, I want this cross. This cross is so great. I just love this cross. All the time, Jesus is not on the cross. He left it behind. You're clinging to it, and he left it behind. The Bible says, I love clapping, that's good. So please don't be like, Brandon doesn't like it when I clap. Clap all you want. Say amen a little bit, that's fine. The Bible says that Jesus rose from the grave, hung out for 40 days with people, teaching, preaching, doing all sorts of things. And then he tells his disciples, he says, why don't you go wait for a gift from my Father? And he goes back to heaven and sits at the right hand of God. The power that he wants to give you is this Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It is power from on high. It is the exact same power that was in Jesus. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Not just gave him the strength to go to the cross, but gave him the strength to get up and to overcome everything that was holding him down. So here he is. Here he is at the right hand of the Father. And as a matter of fact, he says, the Holy Spirit can't even come and begin to give you anything of me because I haven't been glorified yet. In other words, the Bible says that Jesus was glorified. Okay, so all my life, I thought that meant Jesus was kind of a ghostie. You know what I mean? Like walking around, walking through walls. He's like, ooh, boo. You know, and like, oh, it's a ghost. But that's not actually what the Bible says. The Bible says that he was in a glorified body, so much so that he walks through walls. Yeah, he does all sorts of different things. But he walks in, and he tells Thomas, he's like, touch me. Touch me. Do you touch a ghost? No, we've all seen every ghost movie in the whole entire world. I mean, we look at Patrick Swayze. If you don't have Whoopi Goldberg, you're not touching nobody. Right? Which is extremely weird. Just saying, 80s people. Y'all love Patrick Swayze too much. So Jesus is like, touch me. You can't touch a ghost. You can't touch a spirit. Touch it. See, he has a glorified body. So if it was that point where he says, you know what, the Holy Spirit's going to make you like me, what would that mean? We're all just kind of angelic, powerful, otherworldly beings walking around the world, the earth. But what happens is he waits until he's in heaven, glorified, perfect, 100%. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes and begins to make humanity like Jesus. He doesn't make us like Jesus on a cross. He makes us like Jesus in heaven. So the Holy Spirit is the great sculptor. It's his job to make you into what he sees Jesus as. It's as if you are a lump of coal and he begins to chisel at you until you become what he sees in Jesus. And when he does that, he's not looking at Jesus on a cross. He's not looking at this Jesus. Sad, broken, suffering, punished. He is looking at Jesus glorified. So in other words, if he's at his canvas painting the perfect picture of Ashley Lester, he's like this. What's Jesus look like? Okay, that's what we're going to make Ashley look like. What's Jesus look like? Okay, Ashley, Jesus, Ashley. We want to keep looking at what we were, clinging to the past, when the Holy Spirit is committed to your future. But being notorious for missing the point, we would rather stay at information X, even though information Y is true, and draw our own conclusion. Being formed to the image of God will take a little bit of work. Not from you. All it takes is submission. The Holy Spirit will do the work if you will let him. But you have to be committed to letting him work on you to break out to the next level. And you will never break out if all you do is stay here at the foot of the cross when there is a king who sits on a throne. We have to begin to know what Jesus' plan for our lives was. As a matter of fact, in John 10:10, he says this. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Full of what? The cross? Full of what? Death? Full of what? Suffering? Isn't it amazing how we put that on ourselves? And Jesus never told us to carry suffering. He told us, I come so that you can have life to the full. Ephesians 4:13. Check this out. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. If Jesus is Christ's fullness is the cross, him dead on a piece of wood, we have nothing. But the fullness of Christ is the authority of God in heaven. The fullness of Christ is so far beyond this world, you can't even imagine it. They can't take my king and put him on a cross. And so therefore, they can't put me on a cross when Jesus Christ has come to give me life to the full. This is what John wants us to remember about Jesus. He says, as he is, so are we in heaven. As he is, so will we one day be. How about this? As he was on the cross, that's how we are in the world. As he was when he was suffering, being beat and bruised, that's how we are. No, the Holy Spirit looks to Jesus now. He looks to his authority now, and he says, that's the same authority that I want alive and well in your life. It is the ultimate breakout. It is the place that God has for you. It is the thing that he wants you to do. When I begin to embrace this, what happens is everywhere I go, instead of being powerless, I become powerful. And most of us are living under things saying we are powerless. We're living in our past. We're living with addictions. We're living with things that we embrace. Like I'm depressed. We live in mindsets and in places where we believe we're not enough, and we believe in condemnation, and we just put that stuff on us, thinking that all we see is the cross. Jesus died for me because I'm so bad. But Jesus lives again to make you good. He lives again to make you powerful. He lives again to make you more than enough for every circumstance. So if Ephesians tells me that there's not a thing that is above Jesus, and Jesus is above everything for me, why would I live under anything? Why wouldn't I break out? Why wouldn't I live in the fullness of God? Ephesians tells me I need to become attaining to the full measure of Christ. That's where he desires me to be. Have you ever tried to get a dog to come back? There's some dogs, they're just like, and like 4 days later, they finally come back. Like, you know what, I'm hungry, you know. And there's some dogs that know, they just like to taunt you, right? They'll come back like, what's up? They're about like, you know, 30 yards from you. And you're like, come on, come on, come on. You're like, come on, right now. Whatever. You run out and they're like, oh, you can't get me, right? Isn't it amazing how God is getting us to come to fullness, and we're over there talking about, no, I don't deserve it. I can't be there. I you know, the cross. I need to be right here at my forgiveness of sins. But that's not the gospel. Forgiveness of sins is not the gospel. Forgiveness of sins is not the gospel. Let me say it again. Forgiveness of sins is not the gospel. Jesus Christ didn't come to forgive your sins. He didn't come to forgive your sins. Say it to yourself. Jesus Christ didn't come to forgive my sins. Does he? Yes. It was simply step one. And most of us, we have some kind of debt that we're like, you know, we are so far in the red with sin. When we heard that we were going to go back up to like zero, like all that was going to be gone, I was like, whoa! But the last I checked, zero is not full. And Jesus came to give you life to the full. So listen to this. The gospel is this. Not that Jesus Christ came to forgive sins, although he does. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what the Bible tells us. He came to destroy the works of the devil. What was the work of the devil? Stealing humanity from God. Remember Adam and Eve? What happened to them? He created Adam and Eve perfect. He would hang out with them, talk with them, live with them. He provided for them. He gave them amazing purpose in their life. They had jobs. They had each other. They had community. Everything was absolutely wonderful. And Satan comes in and begins to destroy that, to the point where he tricks Adam and Eve into giving them the authority and purpose that they have on the earth. So God creates Adam and Eve to live in a certain way. Satan comes and destroys that. That's how sin enters the world. Sin is not the problem. Rebellion from God is the problem, which is what divides us and creates separation. So we hear this word, but we don't fully understand it. Jesus Christ died to redeem us. Not to just pay your debt, but to buy you back. To receive you back into a place of wholeness, fullness, and what God intentionally designed you to be. He redeems you. The Bible says that he reconciles us. Reconciles. In other words, that because we were divided from God, we couldn't even be connected with God. And so when Jesus comes, he reconnects us with God. He reconciles us. And the Bible says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So because we're found and restored, we get to find and restore people. We get to go find the broken and the bruised, and we get to bring them back to this redemption. It's a great place to be. And so he redeems us, he buys us, he reconciles us, and he restores us to what? Restores you to what? The idea he had when he created you. The place that he has for you, the way that he formed you. And he says, you know, when I formed you, I was looking at Jesus. You're looking at humanity, Jesus. I was looking at perfect Jesus. You were looking at suffering Jesus. I am looking at conquering Jesus. I don't think Jesus and God sit around talking about how bad it was on the cross up in heaven. You know, man, that was a rough 3 years, bro. When I was in the ministry on earth, man, it was terrible. I don't think they talk about it at all. I think they're talking about you. Millennia ago, they were talking about you, and they're still talking about you. The dreams and plans, the places you will go, the things you will do, the person you will become, everything that he has designed for you is on this side. And it is not a zero-sum balance. It is in the black. And it is more than enough. And so Paul goes around trying to convince people. He says, you know, you're more than conquerors through Jesus. You can conquer anything. And we're like, I don't know. I just need the cross. Jesus is like, I'll give you life to the full. He's like, Jesus even says this. This is the ridiculous thing. Jesus is like, hey, look, I know that I've been doing some cool stuff. I've been walking around here healing people. I've been restoring lepers. I've been doing some pretty cool stuff. I mean, some dead people, and you saw me raise some dead people. I mean, Lazarus was in the grave. He was stanky. Talking about 4 days, and I called him out. He was like, hey, what's up? I mean, that's some pretty cool stuff. Wouldn't you agree, Peter? Peter's like, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. And I remember I walked on water, and you're like, I can come out on water too. And he's like, yeah, I was walking on water. Let's walk on water with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? It's like, who else could do this stuff? Jesus says, you can. He said, you see me doing all this stuff. He's like, greater things than that you'll do. Not because you're great, but because God is great to restore you, to redeem you, reconcile you, and make you what he designed you to be. But if you miss the point, you won't ever get the breakout. The last place he takes us is glorification. Now, glorification is perfection. It is a place where you go and you get to live in a body that doesn't have arthritis anymore. You get to remember where you left your keys in heaven. You get to wake up and not have to like unfold yourself out of bed. Right? We get to go to a place where kids don't have leukemia. We won't have to send them to Disney World for their dreams. God will restore them in perfection. That abuses will be no more, and people that have been affected by somebody else's punishment on their life, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, drug abuse, all of those things that are given to the next generation will be no longer. We'll receive glorified bodies. Time will no longer be an issue. I ran out of time. I didn't get to the gym today. You know, my body is working against time. It'll be no longer be an issue. It'll be glorified. And that is a picture of what God is doing now. And when he says, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, he is talking about a glory that is far beyond our wildest dreams. And could it be that maybe you're settled for a place of breakout that is far beyond your wildest dreams? We need some people that are like, God, if that's who you are, that's what you're doing, I want that invited into my life. And you're like, well, I need a plan. I need to know where we're going. What are we doing? God, what do you want to do with my life? He's like, just follow me. Begin to believe that I can break out. Begin to believe in what I'm making you to be. Submit to a place where I can form and fashion you. I've been calling you to give up stuff and to get rid of stuff, and you just keep holding on to it. I've been calling you to move on and to do great things for me and a calling, and you're just not. Why? Because you're stuck at the cross. Because you're stuck at the cross. The cross is a valuable thing if it points you to the glory of Jesus Christ. It is the purpose for the glory. It is the first step, but it is not your final step. Come on, Ben. When we move on, from powerlessness to powerfulness, what happens is it would begin to live the way God intended us to live. You've been praying for kids, asking God to do something that he's given you power over. You've been trying to dump addictions that God has given you power over. You've been living in regret and condemnation. Satan just keeps going, you know who you are. You know what you did. You know, you know, you know, you know. And God has given you power over that. As a matter of fact, he says that you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Some of you need to get up and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which is the perfection of God. It's the perfect place of God. It is a place that God has for you. It is the place where God wants you. It is the place that God established far before the beginning of time. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? That God had already prepared a way to make you righteous long before you ever messed up. And a God that big can handle anything you throw at him. Wherever you go, the whole atmosphere in the room should change. The demonic should bow to you. Addiction should bow to you. Confusion should bow to you. Wisdom is yours, the Bible says. Knowledge is yours. Faith is yours. Healing is yours. Communication with the Father is yours. Interpretation of deep mysteries are yours. I wonder what you're living below that God has given you, but you simply haven't unwrapped yet. Living in powerlessness instead of walking in powerful. I'm all for medication. I don't have a problem with medication. But if your first step is, what can the doctor give me to take this away? Maybe you're out of order. I'm not against medication at all. I'm just saying. My kids come to me. You know, they got like a broken femur, broken arm. They fell off the house. I'm like, I need to go to the hospital. I'm like, no, we need to pray first. No. Why not? If your first step when the crap in your life hits the fan is to go and tell everybody else and get the right advice and to try to figure out what everybody else is saying, maybe you're out of step for your breakout. You're trying to get out of debt. You got a great plan for budget, but you don't give anything to God. Maybe you're out of step for the breakout. Maybe if you're looking for happiness in Cancun, I just need to get away. Instead of finding it in prayer and communication with the creator of Cancun, maybe you're out of order for a breakout. Everything is established in God, and he has established it for you. Would you stand to your feet? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Don't look around for a minute. Let's just have a private moment. If you're here, and you've been waiting for a breakout, but God is speaking to you to move on into his glory, and you know it. He's been talking to you for 21 days about things that need to move, need to shift, places you need to go, things you need to submit to, things you need to drop, everything. A breakout is happening, but you're sitting in one spot talking about, oh God, you're so good to forgive me, but you won't walk in the places where he wants to restore and reconcile and grow you into what he imagined you to be. That kind of thing can sometimes get costly. because it'll cause you to take idols and put them in the fire and to walk in the direction of His glory. So that's you today. I would like for you to come down to this place. Come down to the altar. Find a place to drop it and have a real talk with God. Don't just patty cake God and walk back out. To come down and to really show movement in the direction that you want to go, towards God and away from whatever's holding you back. It's time to break out. It's time to break out. Don't let 21 days of seeking God be for nothing. Let it move you into the place He has for you. And that happens in this spot right here today. Father, we love You. We want what You have for us. Forgive us for holding on to the past when You are so future. You are transforming us from glory to glory. We want to know You, not just in the fellowship of Your suffering, but we want to know You for who You are in Your glory. Don't let us get to the end of the world and You come back and we don't recognize You because we've been worshiping a dead Jesus when You're alive and well and moving. Would You come today? God, I need to break out. I need to break out. It's Your last chance. I need to break out.